Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. Oh, but sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Oh, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done.
Hi everyone, this is Dr. Michael Wald, the original Blood Detective, and welcome to my show, Ask the Blood Detective. Now, every week, many of you email me questions and show concepts. Some of you have posted them on my blog, and I realize that there are just a variety of concepts and belief systems that many of you hold, I hold them too, that really determine what we think is possible in terms of our health. They set up our expectations, and therefore they also set up our upsets, not to mention have to do with what possibilities healthcare has for us. Now, the title of today's show is Misunderstandings in Healthcare, with the subtitle, Don't Kill Yourself. Now, the reason I use that fairly shocking title description is because during the past 25, 26 years or so of me being in clinical practice, working with people with all variety of healthcare problems, I have come across some very common concepts that people hold that, again, lead to their choices, lead to some upsets, and basically lead to misunderstandings that have hurt that person's health. Some of these concepts have helped that person's health. So what I'm going to do now is describe to you in a question and answer sort of format, what are some of the questions and concerns that I've heard over the years that I think are faulty, that lead to misunderstandings. I'm also going to speak about the different types of natural healthcare providers. And everything I'm saying today is in the realm of natural healthcare, although it's definitely applicable to standard allopathic medical healthcare as well, or any healthcare provider for that matter. So I'm going to start right now with a very, very common question that I hear. People will say to me, Dr. Wald, you know, I've come to you as the blood detective. I know you investigate things in a lot of detail. So I imagine that nutrition will cure all of my health concerns. Is that right? And some of you are thinking, is that a real question? How could a person possibly think that nutrition would cure all their health problems? But then again, there are others of you, quite a lot of you, that are thinking, well, of course, nutrition can and natural healthcare can cure anything. Well, I will say this in all fairness, that there is probably not a single healthcare problem that I've seen that someone hasn't cured in some way, shape, or form, whether it's a certain type of cancer or the rheumatoid arthritis or their loss of memory or their digestive gut issues. You name it, I've seen people cure it, and not necessarily all with working with me. But the point of this question is the expectation that some individuals have, and this is who I'm addressing this response to, that nutrition is a cure-all. My honest response to an individual who says to me, Dr. Wald, you know, I expect that nutrition will cure my health issues. Will it cure all of my problems? And we're talking about individuals sometimes that have metastatic cancer, that have had issues for decades. And once again, I know many of you, including myself, are thinking, well, so what? If I were in your place, the listener, you may have had health issues where you're saying to yourself, look, I've had health issues for decades, and I saw several natural healthcare practitioners, and I am cured. But I have to be honest by not lying and saying to a patient, well, listen, to whatever extent nutrition can impact your health concerns, we will likely do that. But I cannot make any guarantees of a cure. In many cases, certain types of healthcare professionals cannot even claim to be treating a particular healthcare problem naturally because the various state regulations and laws prohibit it. The bottom line is, personally, I will provide nutrition for someone's general health and well-being. And depending on the particular health problem, I would then apply specific dietary suggestions and nutritional supplement suggestions. So, I recently saw an individual with chronic musculoskeletal pain. She was diagnosed with fibromyalgia and a few other assorted healthcare issues. After a careful conversation with her, I did some laboratory work, and it turns out that she has celiac disease, which, as many of you know, is a genetically inherited malabsorption disorder triggered by the intake of gluten. The gluten activates the immune system. The immune system, in turn, adversely degenerates the lining of the small intestine, where we absorb most of our foods. And this woman caused various nutritional deficiencies that caused her aches and pains all over the body. She never had any intestinal issues that she knew of. And even gastroenterologists know that only 50% of those with celiac disease have intestinal symptoms. The rest of the time, they have what are known as extra-intestinal symptoms and complaints, things outside of the gut. I love that word, extra-intestinal. It means everything else. We know that gluten is really, as I've called it, the masquerader of many diseases. And by the way, the next show that I do next week will be called Glutenaholic, the dangers of gluten. And if you think you understand gluten, I would encourage you to listen to this show, because there is so much about gluten that I have not seen on websites and I've not heard talked on radio shows, but I have documented in my book, Glutenaholic, and I'll be discussing it in detail next week. The point of this conversation is that with this individual, it was very easy to quote unquote cure her fibromyalgia. All her aches and pains went away. And remember, fibromyalgia, like any diagnosis, is just a descriptive term. It doesn't say anything about how the individual is affected biochemically. Yes, we know in the case of celiac disease that anyone diagnosed with celiac disease does have in common that problem. But how the level of malabsorption and malnutrition, which then causes other organ systems to break down, that is unique or different and varying from person to person. Now, just because you eliminate the gluten doesn't guarantee, that would be a misunderstanding. Remember the show, misunderstandings, don't kill yourself. So someone comes to me, like she did, and she asked me that question, Dr. Wall, can you cure me? And this is before I knew what was going on with her. And I said to her, I don't know what's going on, but if it's a problem that I can help with, then I'm going to give it my best shot. And if she should need to be with any other types of healthcare providers, I will let you know that, and I will be more than happy to help coordinate that conversation. Because as many of you know, when you see different types of healthcare providers, they frequently do not talk. And the problem with that is you can't put a coherent plan together. Things are missed. So the construct of medicine in compartmentalization leads to many, many wasted years of health problems. But back to the question, does nutrition cure everything? The answer is no. Does medicine and medications cure everything? Of course not. This is why we want to maintain a holistic mindedness, in the sense that we'll consider potential cures and treatments from wherever they come in healthcare, so that you can make an educated choice. It's my obligation to bring all of those choices, or as many as I can think of, to an individual, so as they progress through healthcare, when you progress through the healthcare system, or what I really should properly say, the disease care system, but for now, I'll say the healthcare system, you will be able to make very smart consumer choices. Another misunderstanding that comes up during my conversations with people is, someone might say to me, Dr. Wald, some of the suggestions you've given me sound very similar to others I've received, and it didn't work. So I don't think what you're proposing will work for me. And I would say to that individual, because I'm telling the truth, I would say, well, similar is not the same, because you said you had similar treatments. For example, you had nutritional suggestions. I might give you very, very different food suggestions, or they might not be so different. They might be just subtly different, and that is more personalized for you, more individualized. That can make all of the difference. So we want to be careful. We don't want to misunderstand that similar is the same. We certainly wouldn't assume that all nutritionists are the same. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Or all medical doctors are the same in their knowledge or approach. So, number one, similar is not the same. Number two, they might say, and I've taken nutritional supplements that include everything you're recommending, and it didn't work. And I would say, when I figure out nutrition for an individual, I base it on a careful history, an examination, laboratory work, and other factors. So I would be making recommendations to you that are based on your actual needs, as close as I can come to approximating your needs. And if that is also what your prior healthcare practitioners have done, well, we need to take a look at what they've done and do a little comparison. If there's any difference whatsoever, then that provides an opportunity for improved results. Does this make sense to everyone? Of course it does. And forgive me if for some of you this is very much common sense, but personally I take the approach in life, and it's my belief that sometimes hearing things that you think you know, if you're open to learning and new insights, they come from this. Here's another misunderstanding that really does make me sad when I hear it. A patient will sometimes say, Dr. Wald, I was very excited after meeting you, and I looked at all your advice, excited to get things going. I ran it by my medical provider, and he said or she said that it was nonsense and this couldn't work, and I'm wasting my time and my money, so I'm not going to be continuing. And I would say to that individual, first, of course it's your choice to continue with me or not, but you should keep in mind that the thinking and the training of traditional medical doctors is different than my training, or training that a type of healthcare provider who is not a medical doctor would have. So of course, if you show the same information to healthcare providers with different backgrounds and belief systems, they will have different interpretations. No different than if you were looking at a painting at the museum, and one person loves it and they see certain things in it, another person can't stand it, doesn't give it a second thought. So number one, I respect the opinion of other healthcare providers, and I have laid out, I'm discussing this with a patient here, and I've laid out for you what I think you should consider. And if and when you are ready to do that, I will be here. What's sad for me is that when I really know that I can help someone, and then a misunderstanding such as a very intelligent healthcare consumer just adopting the limited belief systems and opinion of a healthcare provider, in this case, the medical practitioner, who is not trained or qualified to even give an opinion in the area of natural medicine. Now, the problem, though, a real problem, could be that if a healthcare provider, a natural healthcare provider, recommends diet and lifestyle and supplements for a certain healthcare problem, but does not discuss, or at least have the person or the patient acknowledge that there are certain treatments in medicine that they might want to consider. So they have full information. They may not want to do it. They may have been there already, done that. But I do personally believe it's important that people get the full range of information. Now, oftentimes, I will be aware of certain medical treatments for a problem, and knowing the mechanisms of how that drug works or this therapy works, there may be natural alternatives to that. So I look for that. So any bit of information and any play back and forth between myself and anyone I work with is always good, and it's always encouraged. Another common question that I get that leads to misunderstanding is, someone will say to me, Dr. Wald, how long will it take for my vitamins and my dietary and other health suggestions to work? And then they'll, before I can even respond, they'll say, and I know it's probably individual. And I'll say, well, yes, of course, it is individualized. And I said, well, as we go through this process, you will tell me that. You will let me know if you subjectively feel better, and that's wonderful. But we have to make sure that your feeling better also matches changes in our tests and our evaluations, so we know that you're not merely just having a good day or a good few days, week, month, or even a year. Because problems can be suppressed with natural remedies, just like they can be suppressed with medication. So the answer to the question, how long does it take for my nutritional efforts to work? Again, that is an individualized thing. How well do you absorb? What are your genetics? What health problems are we talking about? What have you done before? How well have you complied with what we're doing now? But those people that I work with are provided a structure which I believe allows them to move forward in a smart way, and not to be discouraged if things don't just go in the direction of getting better. Many of you know that if you can visualize this in your mind, going from, let's say, your right to your left visual field, if the right side is birth and the left side is death, our health, just like our lifespan, goes across this continuum. We of course only age in one direction chronologically, but our health and symptoms, they go back and forth. We feel better, we feel worse, we feel better for long periods of time, we feel worse for short periods of time, different combinations of that. You get that. The point of bringing this up is that symptoms do not tell us the whole picture. So when we want to know how long it takes for something to work, my model is we try some things, we adjust some things, we fit things in your life in a way that you can accomplish success with them. Because what is the point of me finding out what you need and then giving you impossible suggestions, a list of 50 nutrients, a restrictive diet so strict that even if it does help you in the short term, very few people could keep that up for the rest of their lives. So how long things take is however long they take. But as long as subjectively and objectively through testing, we know that, and we can prove that things are going in the right direction, we're good. And along the lines of a person saying to me, Dr. Wald, how long will it take to get better? They'll say things like, I've been doing what you said for the last 2-3 weeks, and I'm not feeling any better. It's not working. And now, depending on the health problem, we might expect something to go away in a few weeks, but in a general sense, anyone who sees me probably has a health problem that they've had for several years, and they've had mixed results in terms of getting better. They may have gone through periods of feeling better. They may be much, much better than they originally were, but still have issues. So considering how chronic, how long standing a problem is, for it to go away in a couple of weeks is not very likely. If symptoms tend to go away very quickly, well, almost always that's with a suppressive type of a medication, but not always. Nutrition and dietary and lifestyle improvements can make many health problems go away in a few weeks. But in a general sense, if a person has the expectation, because again, they read in some book or heard on the radio or told by some healthcare provider that this or that nutrient or food will magically make this issue go away in a few weeks, it may not happen. I'm just trying to get the point across that healing takes time. That continuum I was describing a few moments ago, from right to left, from birth to death, that timeline is no different than the timeline or the necessary time it takes for certain health problems to go away. I will see people who will say, Dr. Wald, I took that nutrient and my migraines are gone. I haven't had a migraine in 3 days. Now, let's say that nutrient was magnesium. Many of you have used magnesium from everything to muscle spasms, to lowering of your blood pressure, to migraines. It's a neurotransmitter cofactor. It's an antioxidant. Magnesium has over 500 known enzyme interactions. Enzymes run healing reactions in the body. Very important nutrient. But one cannot absorb therapeutic blood levels of magnesium in 3 days. It's not possible, which proves that the mind can do some serious healing. Now, some of you are thinking, oh, well, is he saying that's placebo and that's made up? First of all, that's not what placebo actually means. Placebo may involve fooling the brain and nervous system, the person, into thinking or feeling or a certain result. But that is real. That is real. Now, placebos, sometimes though, depending on the definition of placebo you might read about, if a person's health issues tend to go away in around 3 months or 4 months, it's generally not placebo. Placebo usually fades out earlier. But again, I'm making a generalization, and the point I'm trying to make here is that even if an individual feels that they're much better in 3 or 4 days, some of these people just stop coming to see me. But then they'll come back and say, yeah, it was working. They sometimes do not understand that a well-structured improvement in lifestyle is often required to manage most health problems. So if you're going to take magnesium for your migraines, well, you need to probably eliminate certain allergens or certain foods, which we know in most individuals or many are migraine triggers, like citrus and corn and cocoa, for example. And there are many, many, many others. And of course, they do vary from person to person. Those are just the main ones on some in some book on migraines you might read about. And the individual must be well hydrated, their stress must be managed, their exercise. So to think that a single nutrient can make all bad habits go away is not realistic. Here's another misunderstanding that I hear very, very often, and it's usually when the wives are dragging their husbands or their children into my office. And the man is generally sitting there with his hands, you know, in between his legs, just kind of sitting there waiting for me to sell them a car, not wanting to be sold. And they were dragged there because their wife insisted or their mom insisted. And they'll say something like, well, Dr. Wald, you know, I'm here very reluctantly. I respect you, but I really don't like doctors. And I feel well, but my wife thinks that I'm not. So the issue here is, does the absence or do the absence of symptoms mean I am healthy? This is a big one. I had a patient, I'll never forget her, and she is alive today. I had a patient around 5 or 6 years ago, beautiful woman, inside and out, lovely, lovely woman, in her early 40s. I think she was around 42, and she had a cancerous condition in many parts of her body. The only symptom that she had at the time was a little fatigue. She'd sometimes have some muscle achiness. This example proves, and many of you have had personal experiences with diagnoses of very serious health problems, and until you had symptoms, guess what, folks? You don't have symptoms. Let me say that again. Until you have symptoms, you do not. Now, this woman I was just mentioning with the cancerous process that has metastasized or spread throughout her body, I recently connected with a relative, and they informed me that she was mostly bedridden, not in a lot of discomfort. My point here in this one example is that just because you might feel well, I mean, this woman didn't feel that cancer spread. I mean, there's processes that happen in the body. Before someone has hypertension, they have normotension or normal blood pressure, and then it starts to creep up, and then it could get to a point where that person gets dizzy a lot, or they get a stroke. But before it was that high, it was not that high, and the person felt nothing until it was so bad that their body could not compensate anymore. And that problem, or any problem that gets worse over time, will result in the same sort of confusion that I see in people. They'll say, "Dr. Wald, I don't get it. I've been healthy my whole life. I've eaten well. I've taken my supplements. How could I get these health problems?" This leads to the next question, which is related to the first question I asked. Will nutrition and natural health care and diet cure everything? No. Now, I will honestly say to a person, if it's true, and again, we're talking about the individual who says, "I don't understand how I got this health problem. I did everything right. I felt fine, and then one day I wasn't okay." And I explain just what I explain now, that pretty much every health problem in the body accumulates incrementally over a period of time. The body's homeostatic balance, that's a term, as again many of you know, that refers to how well the body can balance itself out towards regulating itself. If it fails to regulate, disease happens. And before disease happens, this is important you hear this, before disease happens, dis-ease happens. So from right to left in your mind's eye, health, birth, we hope. And as you move through the timeline of life, just like through all the way to disease on the left, there's dis-ease. There's these shades of gray in between. And a person may have lots of symptoms along the course of that scale, or they may have no symptoms at all. And this leads to the next misunderstanding that I in particular hear a lot. Now, As a blood detective, again, that is a term that a grateful husband of a patient who I diagnosed with a health problem just kind of called me one day. And those of you listening to the show have heard this before. And he said to me, "Dr. Wald, you're like a blood detective. You figured this out. No one else did." Now, I'm not a real detective. I get that. I'm not suffering from any delusions. But to the title or the branding of blood detective is simply a reminder for me to not give up. And it also means I would want to structure my practice and the way I approach individuals from a blood detective perspective, which means I would use blood work and other testing to look for obvious and not so obvious health problems or patterns, hopefully identifying them earlier on the disease scale, somewhere in the dis-ease portion of that scale, and hopefully at the very beginning of that, so that the individual can implement daily habits, healthy habits to reverse whatever process I might find is developing, or possibly cure it, depending on what it is. I'll give you an example. I had a patient, and many like this, who came to me with a variety of symptoms, which included anxiety and OCD tendencies and neck and back pain and gut issues, musculoskeletal issues, brain fog. A lot of you are identifying with this right now. And she had visited many different healthcare providers in medicine and a few natural medicine practitioners. It didn't seem to get her anywhere. She was very frustrated. She was losing her life, her quality of her life. She was not working steadily. Her marriage was suffering. Things were a mess. So I did my blood detective workup. I did an intake of her health history. I listened very carefully. And you know, when I cannot speak for other holistic healthcare providers, but when I do a health history, there's quite a lot gleaned from that, depending on how you think. So for example, if someone says to me that they have breast cancer or breast cancer in their family history, and let's say another relative in that family tree had prostate cancer, well, there is an increased incidence, it is now thought, of breast cancer in families that have a history of prostate cancer. And interestingly, in medicine, prostate cancer and breast cancer are treated with many of the same drugs. They involve many of the same nutritional issues as well. My point is that other practitioners may not connect those two, but holistic practitioners like myself do. And I say like myself because I also had a misunderstanding for a few decades, quite honestly, where I thought that all holistic healthcare providers thought pretty much alike. I also had a misunderstanding that most medical physicians in a given specialty thought pretty much alike. It wasn't until I went to medical school and worked in several hospitals doing my medical rotations that I realized in the area of medicine that the difference in expertise and caring is so different, so varying, so extreme sometimes from one physician to the next that I was absolutely shocked. I'm very grateful that I went through a medical education because I did it in the first place to gather perspective, to learn more in medicine and how the medical approach thinks about sickness and health. And I wanted that to permeate everything else that I knew in natural medicine because any knowledge that you gain, this is my belief, from any area, if it's your intention for that knowledge to enhance other areas, it can and will do that. So getting back to this woman, I did some blood testing on her. I looked at many organ systems. She had never been tested so thoroughly. And quite frankly, if she wanted to be tested this thoroughly, she would have had to have visited several other healthcare practitioners, which although she had a long list of those that she did visit, there were some that she just did not meet. I did tests of the immune system's response against her nervous system and her cell membranes. And I screened her for rheumatologic issues and neurologic issues and endocrinologic issues and gastrointestinal issues. I think you get the point. And I was able to see through all those differing puzzle pieces a picture there where I was able to say to her that I believed and was very confident that she had a smoldering chronic autoimmune something going on. Sounds a little vague, but it's the truth. She didn't have a picture on lab that was very clear of a specific diagnosis, but it clearly showed that her antibodies, her immune system, the immune system produces antibodies against the body when it feels a tissue is not normal. Then those antibodies break down the tissue even more, and this is a vicious cycle of breakdown, breakdown, breakdown. The only way you get out of that is to improve the healing of those tissues such that the healing exceeds the disrepair. Now, this woman was told at some point in her visits to, I think it was the rheumatologist at the time, that she had some rheumatologic autoimmune stuff happening, but it wasn't rheumatoid arthritis. It wasn't a specific condition. So the doctor prescribed prednisone, which did help her symptoms because it will suppress inflammation for a while. We all know the dangers of prednisone, but let's not get off the track. She was given prednisone. She felt much better for a little while. And then all of her problems came back with a vengeance. The difference in my approach, for example, would be that she's already tried the steroids. She's visited the rheumatologist a few more times, and that rheumatologist had nothing more to offer her except tell her she should go to therapy. I hear this a lot too. Whenever the doctor can't figure things out, it's always a problem with the patient's mental state. Unbelievable. But with the information that I gathered, I put together a lifestyle plan for her and a nutritional supplement plan for her and did other therapies that got her feeling like a human being again. And she did say to me, she says, "How is it that I saw all these other smart doctors that criticized you, but you're the one that helped me?" And I said to her, "I understand the criticisms because your doctors are clearly not familiar with the information and they don't have the particular knowledge that I have. They have their particular knowledge, and I respect that. You tried the medical route, you've been there, you've done that. Then we tried something else, and it worked for you. So it would be a misunderstanding that could potentially, if not kill a person, certainly affect the very quality of their existence on the planet, for them not to be open-minded to other approaches, whether they are natural approaches or medical approaches. Now, I had three examples of striking examples of failures of natural medicine in my 26-year career. They were all so similar that I only need to tell you about one of them for you to get it. So I had a woman whose husband, I believe, called the office and said, I need to bring my wife in. She has a cancer diagnosis. She has musculoskeletal pain, et cetera, and she's very bad. And I said, okay, make sure to bring in any tests that you have and all the contacts of her oncologist, et cetera, et cetera. So on the day of the appointment, my intercom, my office rings. My secretary says, well, that patient is here. They're in the car. They need help getting in. And this is not unusual for me. I see many sick people, and I'm a fairly muscular guy, so they tend to ask me to come out and carry them in the office. Fine. I went to the car, and I opened the door, and in the back seat of that car looked like there was a dead body in the back seat. Now, there was not a dead body in the back seat, but there was an emaciated woman who reeked of death, I suppose is the right term, who could barely move. Now, after a few minutes, she seemed to wake up a bit. We got her in the office, and here's what she told me. She said, I listened to the advice of a healthcare provider, a well-known one, and I had a diagnosis of cervical cancer. I was told by the surgeons that it was easily operable. I'd probably need some chemotherapy after, but they felt that they could get it all. But I did not want to do toxic chemotherapy. So I saw this healthcare provider, and he told me how to eat and what supplements to take, and told me about the evils of chemotherapy, and I'll be fine if I just practice all the natural healthcare. The long and short of it is, she did exactly what this person said, even attending a several-week sort of detox getaway, and her cancer spread everywhere fast to the point where it was no longer operable. Her pain was excruciating, and she had tumors visible on her skin surface. She was so compacted with tumors. And she said to me, I went back to that practitioner after this all happened, and he said to me, oh, well, you should get chemo. And she said, I was astounded, and I gathered my thoughts. And then I said, but you told me I didn't need that. And then I said, well, what did that natural practitioner say? And she said, well, he didn't say anything. So I left the office, and here I am. So here is an example, one of many I have seen, where a natural practitioner was clearly biased or prejudiced enough against simple surgery that would have cured this woman, but she ended up dying just a few days later. Although I did convince her to go to the hospital immediately after our conversation for pain meds to get some manner of relief. So the point I'm trying to make is that, yes, this was a bad example of how, in my opinion, natural health care, in terms of education and advice, failed miserably and horribly failed this woman. And I also have many, many examples, far too many to tell, and quite frankly, I don't like to think about them, of the disastrous effects of poor medical care on individuals. Most of us listening to this radio station and this particular radio show are weary of medicine because of personal experiences. But that's another misunderstanding that I would encourage you to rethink. Whether it's natural medicine or regular healthcare, there will be failures, even in spite of the best attempts to help someone. Now, just because an individual will see me for a health problem that I helped does not guarantee I will help the next person with that health problem. So a person will commonly say to me, And it's usually during their first or even their second visit, they'll say, Dr. Wald, you know, once you cure me, once you help me, I'm going to bring the whole family in. Now, I used to say, well, that's great. I'd be honored. And that's the truth. But now I'm a little more truthful. I'll say, well, what if I don't help you? Will you still bring your family in? And they look at me a little astounded. And I say, well, what I mean is that, you know, people are different. And even if everyone in your family have the same health problem, you are different genetically. You have different extents of that health problem. There are so many factors involved. Bottom line is, I might help one of them when I don't help you. So maybe you should bring them in now. So a misunderstanding that people have is that if they don't get helped with something, they just throw it out the window. For example, in chiropractic, if someone has a bad experience with a chiropractor, all chiropractors are bad. But on the other hand, I see patients that have had, and I admit, very, very terrible experiences with their medical physicians, and now they have sworn off medicine. Again, I am not criticizing anyone's choice of healthcare, but to have a choice, the term choice implies one needs to choose between different things. But if we've closed off possibility, there is no choice. Even to explore what medicine, if you're against medicine, or also to explore what natural healthcare has available, even if you should be anti-natural healthcare, just the exploration should open, should get light bulbs going on in your brain. You use that information to empower yourself to make better healthcare decisions. Now, in terms of making healthcare decisions, I'd like to spend a little bit of time on the different types of nutritionally trained natural healthcare providers. This conversation is not all inclusive. I just want to get the idea across that not all nutritionists are the same, not all dietitianists are the same, not all individuals with degrees in nutrition are the same. In other words, as you can already tell, there are lots of different pathways of training, diplomas and credentials that different nutritionists have. Now, on the one hand, an individual could have no formalized training and could be a very, very good natural practitioner. That's rare in my experience, having taught natural practitioners and regular physicians of practically every type in large seminars and symposiums in the United States and abroad. I have lots of experience teaching practitioners with all level of education. And I can tell you, if an individual has some formalized education as a base, and then they go from there in terms of their learning and experience, they are generally the better practitioners. Not always. I acknowledge there are very bad practitioners with lots of degrees, but you should question the degrees. For example, in the area of nutrition, there are health coaches, anyone can be a health coach. There's no certification required. And I'm talking about the state of New York. I cannot speak for other states. Anyone can practice nutrition, and that's one level of practitioner. Then there are dietitians and registered dietitians. These are licensed and certified healthcare providers by the state of New York. They have a very rigorous basic education. Now, I admit, and this is an opinion again, this is my show, so I'm giving my opinions. I might as well give a disclaimer now, too, that everything I'm talking about is for your education. I am not saying do natural medicine. I am not saying do regular medicine. This is for education. But the dietitians, clinical nutritionists, there are four-year college degree programs, there are certifications, examinations, there is a very solid base of sciences and health. But in my experience, the dietitians that are traditionally trained, they do not know about supplementation. They are basically trained in the governmental food guideline pyramid type of approach, which I believe is very, very limited. But those individuals with those degrees can certainly advance their knowledge in natural medicine. So you'd want to know they've done that. So many people say to me, particularly those who are not, that are new to natural healthcare and nutritional, come to me and say, well, Dr. Wald, you know, you're not covered under insurance for this or that. And so my insurance covers three visits to a dietitian. And I'll say, well, you can do that, except just realize a dietitian does not focus on these areas that we're talking about. They cannot do testing. They cannot think about all of these concepts that you and I just explored in terms of natural health care. That's just not where they come from in their training or their daily practice. But you can see that individual for three free, you know, visits because Oxford pays for three visits or something like that. Then there are those who earn master's and bachelor's of science degrees and PhD degrees in real schools that are accredited, whether they're accredited online and or their actual physical schools. I don't think necessarily makes much of a difference. I've taught online courses like laboratory nutrition at the University of Bridgeport. I attended, physically sat in the master's program at the University of Bridgeport. But I've also talked to many individuals who did not sit through it. They did the online accredited version, and they're good practitioners. So, and the accreditation process, I should mention, is a process that is cumbersome for schools to apply for. It's not always granted, but it is meant to say to the public, look, there are certain basics of certain basic criteria of the course curriculum and its content and how well it's put together that whatever accrediting body we're speaking about, and there are several, have approved. So at least you know you're not getting something terrible for your time and money. There's some other objective eyes that have looked at that. So accreditation in terms of universities is somewhat important. But I can tell you, among all of the accredited schools I've gone to, medical school, chiropractic school, nutrition school, all accredited physical real schools, some of the best nutrition I've ever learned were from non-accredited programs, both online and in actual physical locations. So I know it's the individual, of course, that makes or breaks their knowledge and their experience. But I was at a seminar at one point, and I was speaking to a doctor who said to me, yeah, my specialty is cancer and nutrition. And I was lecturing on how to nutritionally interpret blood work through my blood detective computer technology, which takes a large amount of laboratory work and helps me interpret it. And she said, well, what sort of computer program do you use to assist you in interpreting laboratory data? Because when you're dealing with complex problems like cancer, I just assumed that she would be using a technology. She says, I don't use any program. I don't even use the internet much. I do everything from my personal knowledge. Now, many of you probably realize there's a deep problem with that. Now, in the National Library of Medicine, there are over 3 million health and medical health articles from 1966 to the present. I spend an inordinate amount of time researching for patients, even if it's healthcare conditions and nutrients or whatever it is that I feel that I know. I'm always taking the opportunity to look at that literature because it is growing so exponentially, I could never get through it all. But I do my due diligence and do that. This particular doctor did not do searches. Now, my concern is how does the public know the difference between someone with a master's in nutrition, with a bachelor's maybe they went to medical school, maybe they also went to chiropractic school, they have all these other diplomates or postgraduate training. How do they know the difference between them? Well, one is you'd want to try to talk to that practitioner first before you spend money to see them, if that's possible. That's usually not possible. I personally make that possible because I want people to be able to talk to me. I want to talk to them to see if I am the right practitioner for them. If I am not the right practitioner for them, I will refer them to another practitioner with no problem. Again, it is not about me. This is your health. This is the patient's and person's health. To inject my bias or my limitations just because I want to treat someone when they might be better off somewhere else, that is a travesty. But I see it a lot in both natural healthcare and regular healthcare. So when we're thinking of, you know, complementary or what's called alternative medicine or alternative healthcare or CAM, complementary alternative medicine, CAM, that term refers to a broad group of practices that are used either alongside or instead of conventional medical therapies. And they, as you know, they'll include different natural products like botanicals and minerals and vitamins and other supplements from natural sources. But the types of practitioners, the point I'm trying to make, the misunderstanding that can lead to you dying or you suffering needlessly is when you don't do your due diligence and look at their credentials and the experience and hopefully speak to the practitioner that you want to go to. And again, it would be a misunderstanding to think that even if someone has all the credentials, that they're necessarily better than someone else. But if I had to choose for you, I would absolutely want someone with basic training in chemistry and more formalized, structured education in addition to whatever other education they might have and experience they may have gathered over the course of years. Another very common misunderstanding that I hear is that if it's natural, it must be safe. Now, our common sense would tell us that, of course, that generalization, like all generalizations, are false. But there's some truth in them. If a person is on blood thinning medications and they're taking nutrition like omega-3 fats and garlic and folic acid and ginkgo that are potential blood thinners, and there are many others, then those natural nutrients or supplements are not safe. They could cause the Coumadin or aspirin to have an exceedingly exaggerated effect where the blood is too thin and a person could have a hemorrhagic stroke. On the other hand, a food such as grapefruit has a compound in it called naringenin that reacts with a large number of medications that if you choose to be on any of these medications, you will have less of an effect of that medication and therefore you can suffer, you might even die from that, what they call adverse or negative interaction. Many, many nutritionists and natural healthcare providers, particularly those without formalized training or formalized training that specifically includes pharmacology, you see, and then goes further in the area of pharmacology, which is the study of drugs and how drugs interact both positively with certain medications and adversely with others, then you get yourself into trouble. So if you have a complex health issue and you're on one or more medications, you need to see a practitioner who is aware of these things. A misunderstanding that frustrates me among the many that do is when a person will come to me and say, "Dr. Wald, you know, I ran by my regular medical doctor your natural suggestions, and he said that these supplements are useless. The FDA does not regulate them." And I sometimes, if I'm in a good mood, I'll say, "Well, listen, your doctor is entitled to that opinion, and I understand his or her perspective." Let's say it's a he. I understand his perspective. He likely does not know nutrition, so therefore, what other conclusion could he draw? If I did not know about something, I might ask you to not do it as well, but I would also do my due diligence and learn about it, and then if my opinion changed, I would tell you. Now, that's when I'm in a good mood, which I'm usually in a good mood. But what I'm thinking often is something like this. I'll say to the patient, John Doe, I'll say, "John, I understand where your doctor's coming from because your doctor uses prescription medications that are regulated by law by the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA. Now, it's no secret that the FDA makes mistakes all the time. Many drugs are released in the general population. They cause problems, they cause deaths, and they're removed, even though they've gone through years of all the standard FDA approvals and jumped through all the hoops, still mistakes are made. The reason nutrients are not regulated by the FDA is because they are not regulated by the FDA because they are natural substances. So it is not fair, and it is a manipulation for your doctor to say to you that the reason these things are useless is because the all-powerful and mighty FDA has not approved them. Well, they don't approve nutrients, so it's not even an argument worth having. So I would then say something like to the person, you should take what your doctor said, and you're taking what I'm said, and now you need to make a decision for yourself. I will be forced to accept any decision that you make, and if I can be of any assistance, I will help you. And then they'll say, wait, will you talk to my doctor about this? Now, when a patient would say that to me in the past, I would jump at the chance of speaking to their doctor. I would spend hours producing detailed typewritten notes with references because I thought, if I can convert some of these doctors, how great would that be? The long and short of it is that doesn't work. So when someone says, will you talk to my doctor? I say, I will be more than happy to speak to your doctor, but I will not call them. Please have them call my front desk and schedule a slot, and then we will be able to focus on you. And you know what happens pretty much every time? No, you know, I'm going to change that. It's not pretty much every time. It's happened every time in 26 years. They do not call, or they call at a different time. I had one physician who because of the complexity of the patient, I scheduled an entire hour to talk to her of my own time at no charge to the patient. And I prepped for this phone call because I wanted it to be very, very clear. I reviewed all of the notes because I didn't feel that any other doctor this person had seen prior to had taken the time to do that. This doctor did not call. 3 or 4 days later, I get a call. Oh, yeah, we're sorry the doctor got busy, ran late. We'd like to reschedule again. I said, I'm sorry. I already allowed an hour in the schedule. One chance is all the doctor gets. She does not get another chance. She's like, yeah, but she was late. I'm like, well, you didn't have the courtesy to call my office and tell me. So there was a lack of respect there. Being too busy, a patient will say to me, oh, Dr. Wald, I don't blame my doctor for not understanding these natural concepts. They're too busy. Too busy. Well, then they need to go into another profession, perhaps. So my point is here, I've reviewed several misunderstandings, misperceptions, limited considerations that some individuals have, and it's important that we recognize them in ourselves so that we can make more calculated, reasonable, and personalized healthcare choices. I'll end today's show by first reminding you that you can reach me, send me your email comments, show ideas at info@integratednutritionny.com. That's info@integratednutritionny.com, or go to my website at www.integratednutritionny.com. You can call the office at 914-242-8844. The next show is on gluten, the masquerader of many diseases. If you have a chronic health problem, it may not be any longer, or may not have been caused by gluten intolerance per se, but the malabsorptive effects of gluten many, many years later. So this is a show worth listening to. So I'd like to end today by saying that I believe that my blood detective philosophy, which involves testing and assessing and listening to the person in every area that we can possibly cover in the body and in life, and then developing a healing plan that is doable, that does involve as natural of an approach as possible, in my opinion, and it is my bias, I freely admit, is the way to go. When doctors say, oh, there's no evidence, most of the time they have no idea what they're talking about. They just say that because you can go to the National Library of Medicine and you can look up the evidence yourself. There is so much evidence there, you probably could not live a long enough life to read even a small fraction of it. And remember, evidence-based is important. Is there some rationale to the use of natural medicine or traditional medicines? That's important. But before there is evidence, there may not be. There are, you know, natural medicine's been around forever, practically. I mean, that's people started using things in their environment. That's natural health. So we know it can work. There doesn't have to be definitive evidence because, in my mind, there is no such thing as definitive evidence anyway.
When I worked for news shows in the past, they would make me say at the end of every segment, and consult your medical doctor before trying this vitamin E, or before you do this food, or before you do this or that. They would make me say that even though the practitioners who know the least about these nutritional concepts are those physicians. So I quit that job. So I welcome you to listen to my past radio shows. You'll find them in the archives on PRN or on my blog on the website, integratednutritionny.com. I'll see you next week where we'll be talking about gluten. Tell your friends. And thank you so much for these show ideas. I'm enjoying them very much. Take care.
Come out, Virginia. Don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they show you a stand.